Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
You all know that when I feel the presence of God, I cry. And so I don't apologize for that. Just expect me. Sometimes I cry a lot. And it's okay. I'm not sad. My husband tonight asked me, I asked him the question first. I said, if you could have the Lord give you something tonight that through me, that because he knows better than to ask me a theology question. That's not my gift. But I asked him if I could speak into your heart, if I could share something with you that would help you to grow or to walk in your walk with the Lord, if I could feed you tonight, what would it be? And he said, I want to know how to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. How to stay there. And so I guess some of you can relate to that. That must have been a good choice, honey. We just had our sixth. I was going to do it again. So my brain wants to flip this, but we've been married 46 years. Yesterday. And I want to say, isn't that awesome? Yeah, we're proud of that. But it's God's grace. It's not been an easy walk. We've had our rough years, but we plowed through. We committed. And but I keep wanting to say 64. I mean, I looked Bonnie Jones. Do you know who Bonnie Jones is? Bob Jones' wife, Bob Jones the prophet. If you know him, he's a famous prophet. He's gone now. But his wife, I looked her in the eye on Sunday because I was at a conference that she was at and we were sitting at the same table talking. I looked her in the eye and told her, I've been married 64 years. And she goes, wow. She was really impressed because I look really young for that. But anyway, my brain just wants to transpose it. I think our goal is more than 64, so that's just a little thing. How do we stay? That's Psalm 91 that talks about that, by the way, staying under the shadow of the Almighty. It's a place we need to dwell, but how do we do it? The how-to is not easy. Everything out there will fight you to try and keep you from being in that place. When we're under the shadow of the Almighty, when we're under His wing, it just means that we're covered by Him. We're in unity with Him. We're walking in righteousness. We're agreeing with Him. We're being obedient. We're doing our part in purposing in our hearts to stay there with Him. It takes relationship. It's just like a marriage. Chris and I have to purpose in our hearts to spend time. We have to intentionally respect and honor each other. We've never yelled at each other. You might find that interesting, and some of you are like that too. But we've never yelled at each other or called each other a derogatory name, even dummy or stupid, those ones that we think are benign. We don't even say those things. Might think it sometimes, but we don't say it because the power of your words are powerful to either bring death or life, and we've always purposed to try our best to bring life to our marriage. And so even in those very, very difficult times, we strived to speak life. And even when we really didn't know what that meant, in our early years of marriage, we really didn't know. It's just that we purposed to do those things. And it's been, the rewards are great. The same with the Lord. When you purpose in your heart, so how do you stay under the shelter of the Almighty? I'm going to read you a verse here. It says, it's in Jeremiah 4, the second part of verse 3. Says, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord and remove the foreskins of your heart. Removing the foreskins of your heart. It's cutting away unnecessary fleshiness, right? It's a cutting away of self-seeking, selfishness, self-righteousness, self-edification, self-elevation. So it's all that self stuff that the Lord wants to, he commands us, you know, to do it. It's also in Colossians 2, chapter 2. So it's not where I thought I was going to be going, but. Isn't that the way? I just got to find Colossians here. You know, sometimes when you... There it is. Colossians chapter 2, starting with verse 9. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in him you've been made complete, and he is head and rule over all authority. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God, raised him, who raised him from the dead. When you were dead in your transgressions and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive together with him, having forgiven us all our transgressions. Positionally with Christ, you were already there. Your flesh, in the eyes of God, positionally, has already happened, right? So when we pray, that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, it's already done positionally in heaven. We are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. It's already done. Now we just need to bring it to earth as it's done in heaven. This is part of that. So when I want to stay under the shelter of the Almighty, I need to give up my flesh. Because my flesh is going to want to be self-seeking, and it's going to want to pull me out from under the wing of God. It's going to want to pull me out into worldly things, fleshy things. It's going to cause me to be self-seeking, self-satisfying. I'm going to give in to the desires of the flesh, right? Some of those things seem a bit benign, and some are more serious. But they're all to feed the flesh. When I feed the flesh, I am out from under the shadow of the Almighty, which means I'm out from under. There's a protection that happens when you stay close to the Lord. When you're out from under that, you're kind of unprotected. The enemy has those arrows. If you read through Psalm 91, the arrows. When we stay under the shadow, there's no arrow that will prosper, that comes against us will prosper. When we're out from under, the opposite happens. Does that make sense? So it's your flesh that wants to pull you out. So the way you stay in is relationship. Relationship with God will cause you to want to give up the flesh. The more you understand, the more we understand, the more revelation I have of the glory of God that dwells in me, the more revelation I have of that, the more I want to agree with it. Holy Spirit dwells within you. You're His temple, His home, His house. I want to agree with that because that's the truth. Anything less than that is not the truth. It's a lie. Right? The truth, I want the truth of the kingdom to get really big in me. I want to walk out everything that Jesus says I can walk out. And so I know you do too. Or you wouldn't have all been saying, yeah, a minute ago. You want to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. It's not easy. It's a difficult walk. But that is what makes it so beautiful. Is that difficulty? That difficulty is what grows you. It prepares you for, the tree that is on the edge of a forest, that tree is the one that gets shaken, right? And that those ones that are on the edge of the forest that are buffeted by the wind, they get shook, and they have a bigger girth. They don't snap easy. They learn to flow with the wind of the Holy Spirit. And they get buffeted, but they stand back up. And as they do that, it strengthens them. The ones on the inside of the forest that are happily going about their little lives, they're struggling to reach the light, right? To reach the sunlight. They're being choked out by the density of the forest. And so they're tall and spindly. If wind ever hit them, they'd snap in a minute. We're just like that. So the buffeting, the struggle in staying in the shadow of the Almighty under His wing is for your benefit. It's for your benefit. It will make you stronger. We learn to stand up to the enemy. We learn to not fear him. We learn to be wise to his ways. We learn to say no to the flesh. We learn to let Christ circumcise our hearts. It's painful, but oh my goodness, after it heals, wow. The rewards of that circumcision are amazing. How do we think about God in relationship to us as everything? Do you believe that God loves you? So past your knowing, knowledge, your head knowledge, in your heart, do you know the love of God for you? Do you know it? Do you feel it? Are you convinced of it? When you're under the shadow of the Almighty, you're convinced. You know His love. You feel it. And there's nothing's going to shake that too easily. Those trials aren't going to shake that love, the knowing of that love. When Chris and I, we're in a real weird place right now. I'll just share with you. So he's 65, I'm 64, but we're losing our business, and we're okay with that. But we're not quite at the place where financially we can't retire, and he's not really he's at the age where people are going to think twice about hiring him. Because of his work years left. And so what do we do? I don't know, but it's going to be good. I really feel that. And I really do. We're excited about where God's taking us. Has it been easy to make that shift and think through that? No. There's been some struggle. It's been easier for me because the most of the burden of supporting us is on him. But I am sure supporting him in praying him through it and supporting him and encouraging, you know, I'm the cheerleader. But there's a peace on me and over my husband that is not being shaken. We actually have a spirit of expectation for the more. It's going to be good. I don't know what it is, but I know it's better than if he stayed even in the business that he has. I know it's better. We've been looking for this for years. We've been wanting to get out of our business for years. And now that it's time, our first reaction is like, oh, now? Because it's, you know, it's not the opportune time, but it's the opportune time in the eyes of the Lord. Because whatever happens next is to his glory. And he's going to shine. And I don't want to miss it. So I want to agree with it. Right? That's how you view your trials. I want to agree with God that on the other side of this trial, that he's going to give me the wisdom to get through it. On the other side of this trial, it's going to be better than where I was. And he's going to shine. And I'm going to get the benefits of that. Yeah? So that attitude is partly what keeps us under his wing. It's how you think is everything. How you think about God, how you think about life, how you think about yourself. Are you angry at God? Are you blaming him for bad things that have happened? I understand that. Some of you have had some seriously bad things happen. I know. I hear your stories, you know, because of what I do. I do the inner healing here at Voice. I'm one of them that does inner healing. And I hear those stories, and I have great compassion for that. However, I know a bigger God that is bigger than your pain. He's bigger than every scheme that the enemy has set against you. The power of love, the power of God to redeem you, to restore you, to give you a happy ending to your story, to give you freedom from oppression, to give you, to release the pain in your heart, to give you joy instead of sorrow, is far greater than the enemy's ability to destroy you. It's just that the enemy's destruction, his schemes, hurt our flesh. They hurt our flesh, and our flesh fights against it because we don't like to feel pain. No, nobody likes to feel, I don't like to feel pain. Nobody likes it. However, what you do with the pain is everything. You can either hold on to it and get angry, or you can trust the heart of the one who loves you most and give that hurt to him and let him heal. Let him restore. Let him set you free from every scheme, every chain, every kind of oppression that the enemy... There is not anything that the enemy has in his tool belt that could come against you that God doesn't have an answer for. Not one thing. Who created who? You know? Satan is a created being. His demons are, they're not the creator. And he wasn't created to be that way, but he chose it. So we can either be like him and choose to go down the toilet with him, or I love that toilet analogy. if you get in the toilet, you know, if your mind, you get in the toilet and you jump in there, and it's kind of like you sit in there and think about it for a while, and then afterwards you start to sink lower, and it gets a little slimy down there, and then pretty soon you're reaching up and flushing it, right? We want to stay out of the toilet. It's all in what you think, how your minds think. So, says in Jeremiah chapter 17. This is a really powerful scripture. I love it. I love it. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. You know what we do? We, ever since we're little, we will listen to what people say about us, and we'll try and be who they think we are, how they see us. We'll try and fit what they think, what they're saying over us, so that we're acting in such a way that they're going to love us. So we start out trying to please other people, even our parents, bless their hearts, and I am one. But I know I wounded my children, not intentionally, but I did. Not a perfect parent. But if you had a parent, say, or a teacher who would say, you're just no good, you're never going to amount to anything. It's going to do one or two things. It's either going to make you try harder, which is what her intention is. It's either going to make you try harder, or you're going to believe it, and you're going to give up, right? There's no middle ground there. It's going to make you do one of two things. Most of us will take that, try harder. So I'm going to try hard to make her think I'm good, or I'm going to try hard to earn love, or I'm going to try hard, and we're going to try. And those of us that give up, and we do both. There's some areas in my life I can look back now and see where there's some areas where I tried harder, and there's other areas that I gave up. So we're a mixed. We pick and choose which one is the least difficult, and we'll pick which path to take. But it's all centers around what other people think of us, and that determines what we think about ourselves, for good or for bad. But the Bible says, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. Mankind will fail you, even on our best attempts. You know, we try hard as Christians to love well, but we have the capability of failing each other. If you put your trust in me to love you well, and you depend on me for your joy and your peace, I'll fail you. At some point, I have a huge ability to fail you. It's the same with, I love my husband. And he brings me great joy. But my peace doesn't rest with him. And my joy doesn't depend on him. Because I know he's human, and he's like me, and he could fail me. God won't ever. Won't ever. It's not in him. So cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength. We tend to think that we can do it. We can do it. You know, we put faith in our own strength to do a thing. We buck up and do it. Or we trust the strength of another. And whose heart turns away from the Lord. Because when we do that, our heart's not looking at God, it's looking at mankind for the answers. For he will be like a bush in the desert and will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stormy wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. It's a pretty desolate place. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord. Trusting in God and having God as your trust is necessary to stay under the shadow of the Almighty. If you don't trust Him, you're not going to want to be close. So if you have trouble trusting the Lord, it's because you misunderstand. You don't understand His heart. And He knows. But start taking those things that would cause you to not trust Him to Him and just setting them one by one before Him and let Him talk to you about them. Sometimes we talk too much. When we're coming before the Lord, we tell Him everything that's on our heart, and then we say amen and go on. And we forget to listen to His heart. When I'm before the Lord, I say very little. Very little. I do a lot of listening and a lot of just being. I let him in, and I want Him to stay there, and I want to feel the fullness of His love. And you know what? When I sit like that, all that stuff kind of just washes away, becomes very small. So we have to learn to talk less and just lay that hurt out there in front of Him and say, Jesus, I want to give this to You. What do You want me to understand right here about You? Because when we don't trust the Lord, it's because we don't know His character. So one of the things that I did with God is early on in my walk with Him, in my relationship for intimacy, is that I started pressing into God's character, not just about how magnificent and awesome and His robe fills the temple and He's omnipresent and omniscient. Those things are amazing, but that puts Him way out there and where I can't touch Him. And I need to know those things about Him, but I want to know His character, because that's what gives me relation. That's what I can relate to. So get to know His character, His love, amazing love, His joy, His peace. All those good things originate with God. So go to the origin and find out what the origin is saying about those things. And that's where what will draw you to the want to, the passion for staying under His wing. No matter what it costs you, because it will cost you. Cost your flesh. It costs that extra flesh that gets circumcised. And circumcision is painful. But when it heals, there's no more pain, there's peace. Joy. Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord and whose trust is the Lord, for he will. This is a promise. He will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. Even in a year of drought, you'll still be yielding fruit. When everybody else is dry around you, you'll be full of apples and oranges to pass out, right? It's possible. Your fruit bearing does not depend on another person. Doesn't. You cannot, if you give somebody else the power to determine the amount of fruit you give out or your joy or your well-being, then that's power that doesn't belong to them. You've misplaced power. You need to gently take that back. I love you, but that power belongs in the hands of God. He alone is responsible for your joy and your well-being, your peace, your value. He paid for it. Jesus paid for it. The heart is more deceitful than anything else, and it is desperately sick. Who can understand it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give each man according to his ways, according to the results of his deeds. Lord, we'll test you, but it is only for the purpose of fleshing up in the heart that extra flesh that doesn't need to be there. It's for your good when God tests you. Some of those tests are hard. But it's how you think about the test. Like Chris and I right now, it's like, okay, God, we're in this with you. We're in it with you. We trust you. I trust him. Nobody can take that away from me. Not the trial. For heaven's sakes. I've lived long enough to know that God's going to see me through anything. The trial is, I want to milk it. I want to learn. We are learning. One of the things that the Lord told me early on in this phase that we're going through right now is to purge. And we started purging our shop before we knew what exactly was going to come down. And we started purging. And my husband's never been that way before. I mean, purging is difficult for him. And so it's really been a little bit of pain there. But you know what? He's in a place with God now that where he's milking this trial. We are milking it together. And it's feeling good. We're looking with expectation, with joy. We have peace. And to the world, it looks crazy. Like we look like we're in a very precarious situation. And I don't feel that. I don't feel that. I don't know what's coming. I don't know what it looks like. Don't. But it's, I'm excited to see what it is because I know it's good. It's the heart. It's how you think that will keep you under the shadow. You seek his face. You're willing to lay down your flesh and let him have it. You're willing to let him circumcise you. You say yes and amen. God, do it. And I don't care. Since Chris and I started this journey in 2003, first time I ever knew I could talk to God, or I'd been a Christian all my life, but I didn't know God talked to you. I didn't know you could have that kind of relationship with him. And when we started this journey, I determined in my heart that I would pay the price. I would lay down my life. And I would allow him to have every bit of flesh that he wanted. I even invite him to do it. I used to say, God, just fillet me. You know, fillet me. Fillet me. Strip me. I don't care. I'll pay the price. And I don't say that flippantly because I know it costs. But you know that price, because I'm so willing, has never been those things of the flesh that I've given up, and there have been a lot, look like, honestly, like I'm giving up trash. It's because he's changed the way I see things. And everything that's not of him to me looks like trash. And Why do I want it? You know, so it becomes, so while the healing sometimes is painful, it's painful to look at those things, that pain lasts for a bit. And the joy comes, and peace, and my whole outlook changes, and I know who loves me. I choose to stay under the shadow. So the more you, it's that. That's how you do it. You choose at whatever it costs you. It's not in the doing, it's in the being. I can't do enough to stay under the shadow. I have to be under the shadow. I want to. Have the want to. Ask the Lord to put the, if you don't want to, ask the Lord to put the want to in you. He'll help you with that. I do. Give me a bigger want to. Give me a bigger want to. I want to. That I, when I get to the end of my life, and I'm in my latter years, I get that. I could have another 30 years, right? When I get there, whatever, if it's tomorrow or if it's in 30 years, I wanna know that I spent my life well, that I learned to love well, that I learned to serve others and the Lord. I learned that there's nothing that is more important than relationship with God and His people. So I just want to bless all of you. If you want a bigger want to, just come on up here. And I just want to pray that over you. If you want a bigger want to, if you're not afraid to go there with Him, and you want that want to, that hunger for Him that only He can satisfy, I just want to pray for you. I can't impart intimacy to you, but I can pray over you and impart a want to. And I have that anointing, and I want to share. I want to give that to you. So I'm just going to go down the row, and I'm going to pray over you. The rest of you, I just bless. I thank you for coming out tonight. And if any of you want physical healing, just raise your hands, and I'm going to have the healing team come over to you and start praying for you. So raise your hand if you need physical healing. And don't be shy. That's God, that's was on the cross too. So thank you.
Father, I thank you for your anointing. I thank you that you pursue us and that you're reaching out to us. And so in this time, we just thank you for your blessing. In Jesus' name. For those of you who are still out in the audience, we bless you and we say go in peace. And we're glad that you came out this evening. May the Lord be with you wherever you go. Amen.